So let's bow our heads and say a little prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that the light of the Holy Spirit would just help us to have a greater grasp of the reading this day, and lead us to a deeper union with your Son, Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the responsorial psalm really sums up these readings today. Lord, forgive the wrong I have done. All of us here, we are sinners, and all of us here are in need of God's mercy. But we see here in these readings different types of sinners. Now, these readings here today challenge us to look at our lives and see what is holding us in bondage, what is preventing us from having the abundant life of Christ. The first reading, you have David. Now, what's happening with David? He had just committed adultery with Bathsheba, and she's pregnant with his child. And so what David did to cover up his tracks, he sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to the front line in harm's way deliberately so that he would be killed. So there wouldn't be complications later. The husband finds out that this child is not his. So he's sent out of the way. And he's holding us in. He's living in this darkness. And he must be thinking, boy, I'm the king. I'm the king. And boy, if the people find out about this, what's going to happen? How are they going to look upon me? So he's holding it, and it must be just ripping him apart. And then the prophet Nathan comes, exposes it to the light. I'll come back to it. And then the Pharisees. Here, the Pharisee, singular, in the gospel, he's held in the sin bondage of pride and self-righteousness and legalism. He's looking at the woman, her sins. Boy, if Jesus knew who this was, he would know that she's a sinful woman, that she's a sinner. But our Lord, when he gives a little story, he talks about the creditor, and someone that owes 50 days' wages, and someone that owes 500. And he was referring to the Pharisee, 50 days, that you too are a sinner. And then you have the woman. How are these people presented to us in the scriptures? She is, in God's eyes, you know, very dear. She realizes she was a big sinner. She realizes she really had to change her life around radically. And she realized she could do that at the feet of Jesus. So she goes there. And you have the Pharisee, and all the other people, publicly, they see this. The humiliation that she had to go through, the humility she learned from that. So it's really deep. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what is holding us back from living a life fully in Christ? Is it some sin that we don't want to confess? Is it like the Pharisee, we don't want to look in the mirror to see actually what our sins are, so we don't want to do examination of conscience? Or are we like that woman that we know that we're sinners, we're big sinners, but yet we don't have enough humility to go to the feet of Christ's representative confession and confess our sins? We have to ask ourselves, what in our life is holding us back in our relationships? Is a certain attitude or addictions or uncontrolled repetitive behaviors that are keeping us bound? Is it a past hurt or a trauma that's keeping us paralyzed and unable to move forward? Or do we find ourselves blaming everybody else rather than taking responsibility for ourselves? And the starting point is real simply is asking Jesus, show me what's wrong with me. Jesus, show me what's holding me in bondage. Jesus, show me what's happening that life was preventing me from having that life in abundance with you. And here's a couple of examples. I touched these, but make them more explicit here. Here are some sins of the heart that may be holding us captive. The legalism, the self-righteousness is displayed here in the Pharisee. When we think that we're better than everyone else, you know, each and every one of us have different parents. Each and every one of us has a different upbringing. So God's going to judge us with what we were given, right? Now, maybe this woman, the sinful woman here, maybe she had a horrible, horrible upbringing, and all she saw was bad example, where the Pharisee had all these good examples and things like that. So the Lord takes that all into account. So ever think, well, I'm better than that person, I'm better than this person. Whoa! The Lord just hates that. Or the self-righteousness. You can see the Pharisee here, when our Lord's giving attention to this woman here, praising her, her humility and her hospitality there, he must have been a little bit disgruntled in his heart, saying, it's not fair. So if we go through life and say, it's not fair, I can't believe that person's received this, this person has that, what about me? I can't. Well, that's where we're falling into the sin of a heart of self-righteousness, thinking that God, I deserve this. God, no. God gives us gifts freely. If you give someone more gifts and you less, We have to be at peace with that and say, okay, this is what God wants me to work with. Or pride, seeing to try to control all situations, resisting that dependency upon God. And the example I use for that most often is failure to turn to God in daily prayer. Quality time in prayer. Quality time in prayer. So there's a pride when we think we go through life without God's grace. But here's a big one that holds us from having a life in abundance with God. Fear of the future. Fear of our own weakness. Well, I can't do that. Well, if the Lord's asking you, you sure can. With God's grace, you can do all things. Or lack of trust. Or fear of finances. So all these different fears sometimes will hold us in bondage. And when that happens, what we're doing is looking at our weaknesses rather than the strength of Christ. Or self-pity. Sometimes we put ourselves in a situation, well, you know, the reason I'm in this situation is because of this person, because of that person. You know, the boss just doesn't realize the value that I have. The people given to that self-pity, blaming everybody else but themselves, not looking to take responsibility for their own lives. Or, here's another, this is the last example, bitterness and unforgiveness. Maybe someone's hurt us deeply, and we cling to it in our hearts as almost like a self-defense, but by clinging to that unforgiveness or the bitterness, it builds up a wall around our heart that we enclose ourselves in where Christ can't get in. Now, we're in switch here. Remembering repentance begins with remembering how much God loves us. And it's evident here in the reading. The prophet Nathan comes to David. Does he start off by saying, David, you committed murder and adultery? He doesn't start there. He starts at the point of reminding David that God loves you, David. He says right at the beginning, he said, David, God loves you so much, I anointed you king of Israel. Lord God sent me to anoint you the king of Israel. You're favored by God above. He rescued you from the hand of Saul. So it's the Lord God speaking through Nathan. I've rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your Lord's house. And it goes on. So all the different manifestation of God's love in David's life. So Nathan starts there. And then what does David do? I've sinned against the Lord. I've sinned against the Lord. We stop and look at the blessings that we have received. We stop and we look at the crucifix. And we start at that point of realizing that God loves us. And look at our lives, the manifestation of His love in our life. That's the starting point. That is huge. This woman right here that came to the Lord. Did our Lord say, oh my goodness, you're going straight to hell and things like that? This woman had heard about Jesus and His love was manifested and how He had helped so many different people. The people who were blind receiving their sight. People were hungry, giving them food. The people were thirsting for truth and the things about the kingdom of heaven. He was giving that. And He was spending Himself. So she saw this love was manifested for all these different souls. So she was able then to approach Him. Now, in all the circumstances of our life, our relationships, maybe relationships we can't fix, maybe questions that we can't answer or problems that we can't solve, all of these are opportunities to turn to Christ. Especially with our sins. Some people are held in the bondage of sin, and they keep trying to battle themselves. Use what God has given us of His great love, the sacrament of confession. He's given us the Blessed Mother, the Rosary, and the saints, our guardians, all these wonderful manifestations of His love that help us to break out of the bondage, to live a life abundantly with Him. Just a little side note. Blessed John Paul II says, do you wonder sometimes how close you are to the Lord if you have greatness of soul? He said, greatness of soul is revealed in suffering. How well do we suffer when things don't go the way that we would like, but yet to remain at peace with the Lord, to continue fervently in life. He said, that is when we're exposed, when we're put in those adverse situations, how we do. So our Lord's first words in the gospel are, repent and believe the kingdom of God is at hand. And some say it can be summed up really easy. We say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I thank you that you offered me this opportunity to reconcile to you. And please, please give me your love. Please transform me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.